Yeah.
Oh, yes, you can.
I've got it switched on now. Your family, or Mrs. Purser's family, was originally Southern Irish Protestant.
My grandfather was the Dean of Limerick. His name was Lucius O'Brien.
Yes.
And he was a son of William Smith O'Brien, the Young Ireland leader.
Mm-hmm.
And what grandfather's views were, I don't know, but they all had this very independent outlook, all of them.
Mm.
Well, mother was his eldest daughter, and she married about 1902, I think, my father,
yes,
who was a doctor. And
medical doctor.
Medical doctor. Mm. And my grandaunt, Miss Purser, who was a very well-known character in Irish social life and artistic life, she said to my grandfather, "I hope you don't mind your daughter marrying out of the aristocracy." And he said, "Into the aristocracy of intellect, Miss Purser." Very neat reply.
Nicely done, that.
Well,
yes.
Anyway, they... Mother told me, which is really terribly funny, I think I once asked her what started her in the suffrage movement. She said, "Well, you know, the Miss Kirkpatricks, they called to ask me to join the Anti-Suffragette League." And I asked her, "What was the anti-suffragette?" "Have women not got votes?" Mother said. "Oh no, and shouldn't have," these ladies said, you see. So Mother then immediately saw that they should have votes, rushed home to find out how she could join in getting them votes.
That's interesting. I've come across rather similar examples of people starting off in the suffrage movement because they were so disgusted at the anti-suffrage arguments they heard in an anti-branch, you know.
Well, I don't think Mother had paid an awful lot of attention to the those kind of matters at all.
Mm.
And she... Do you want me to tell you more about her as a young woman?
No, please.
Well,
yes.
They lived in County Limerick, and, of course, horses were the thing, you know, and hunting and so on. Well, she got engaged to my father when he was only a second-year medical student. He was only 19. And, of course, in those days you had to be earning a living before you thought of getting married, you see. So she went to London and she trained as a nurse in Bart's.
Did she really? That's
yes.
Unusual.
So she was, as some cousins had already done so, I think some other O'Brien women. At any rate, she did that. And I think about a year after she finished her training, they got married. She was a little older than my father, though she survived him by at least 20 years. And, well then, I don't know what happened then, but there was the Irish Women's Franchise.
That's
League.
Right, that was founded in 1908, wasn't it?
Well, she must have joined it very soon.
Yeah.
And I remember there was Miss Nellie Manning was one of the members, and a Mrs. Earle, who went to jail in England. She was the wife of a doctor here. And then there was the other people who were in prison with Mother were Mrs. Cousins, Mrs.
Yes.
Connery, Mrs.
Yes.
Skeffington.
I come across all those.
And they all went in together, and they went on hunger strike in Mountjoy to be treated as, they wished to be treated as political prisoners, you see. But Mother told me, when she went out, breaking windows was the thing then, you see, what you did. But later I think they did a lot of things like pouring, putting bombs, but destroying post offices and pillar boxes and things. Mrs. Skeffington and I both rather are a little bit anti-militant now, seeing the way the world has developed. But Mother came of rather fighting stock in a way, and I think this, she felt it was the right thing to do. The others got nowhere. But when she was arrested, the policeman said to her, "Now, ma'am, you walk on ahead and I'll walk some distance behind you, and no one will know we are together."
He felt she would have lost caste if it had been known. She would
I don't think she'd have minded, but he thought it improper. Isn't it curious? Isn't that a very different world?
And you feel, actually, that your mother's well-established position actually made it easier for her to throw stones and to go to prison, in the sense...
My memory is that all the women who were engaged in it were all what were then considered to be ladies. I mean,
yes.
They all had, they had servants. They'd all servants. At least I think most of them had, except that
right.
Famous Anne Kenny, wasn't it? Who
she was a mill girl, yes.
But I think mostly they were came of the middle classes.
That's right.
And that it was possible for them to do it in a way that poorer women perhaps led such dreadful lives already that they had thought of even such things.
Yeah.
Well, of course, when was universal male suffrage? I mean, well, there was a property.
Well, that was until 1918.
What?
You didn't get universal male suffrage till 1918.
Well, is it likely there would have been any question much of votes for women?
Mm.
I mean, what they would have wanted would have been alleviation of their working conditions.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes. So, in fact, your mother went to prison, what, for a month, is she, or 2 months?
I think it was three.
Was it really? Yes.
At any rate, they were all transferred to Tullamore. They were granted their political status, as well as I remember, and then they finished off their sentences in Tullamore. And you will find among these things the National Library a letter, a reply from the Lord Lieutenant to Mrs. Earle, a friend of my mother's, who requested that my mother should be released before the end, and this agreeing to that.
Mm. How did she take? She actually hunger struck, did she?
Yes.
Did
yes.
she? How did she manage that? I mean, did that damage her health?
Oh, no, no, no. Didn't, no. I think they were only on hunger strike a fortnight. Well, of course, it'd be a very long time when we're on hunger strike.
Yeah.
But it's possible to be on hunger strike a bit longer than that.
And was that the only period in her life when she went to prison, or did she...
Oh, no. That she didn't. Well, now, I think that it was after that, not very long after, that she must have separated from the Irish Women's Franchise League. And my impression is that the reason was that it was becoming more and more devoted to home rule. And she, not that she was anti-home rule, but she thought this other thing was more important.
Yes.
And, I mean, that was the thing, the Women's Social and Political Union and an organizer came over.
Yes.
That was her priority.
Yes.
Not that she was anti the other in any way, but I must say, in Ireland, the position of women has always been poor and still is.
Yes.
And perhaps she foresaw that the women who worked so hard for the Sinn Féin movement, as it was then called, would absolutely be thrown out of her ears at the end of it.
Yes. Well, as happened to Mrs. Shee Skeffington, in a way.
Well, it did happen. I mean, really, this is something in which Ireland is very much behind England.
See, this is one reason why I'm so interested in the different situation in Ireland, really. But anyway, when your mother joined the WSPU in Ireland, what did she do for them?
Well, there was an organiser came over, Miss Wickham.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if she's alive still.
I haven't come across
Well, her name is Hodgson.
Yes.
She was a most beautiful woman and very well-connected person in England. She came over to be the organizer here and became a great friend of my parents. And what happened then, I really don't know. But there were constant meetings. And when you go to the National Library, you'll see funny little photographs that were taken in the backyard of our house of a little donkey cart covered with flowers and things. And they were, I suppose, going out on some sort of an advertisement trail.
Yes.
And
very good at that.
And another thing that did happen, you know, the cat and mouse bill.
Yes.
Well, the people who were on the run from England, Mrs. Dacre Fox and Miss Grace Rowe, people like that used to come and stay with us.
Did they really?
Yes.
So
I can remember them in our house. Come in and been as guests to recuperate a bit and that sort of thing.
Mm.
And then what happened? Well, now once the war came, of course, the war made a difference, didn't it?
Yes, oh, very much so. Well, Mrs. Pankhurst then...
she made a bargain with Lloyd George,
yes,
didn't she?
Right.
Yes, and women went into munitions. And I know this Miss Wickham was an overseer of a munitions factory and things, but nothing... my mother... then she did nothing further, really. Of course, then we were working up to 1916 and all that here, and the national business. I don't mean to say she threw herself into it at all, but it the women's cause had temporarily gone into abeyance, and then, of course, eventually there was this absurd thing about getting the vote at 30, wasn't there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You said your mother trained as a nurse. Did she actually practice as a nurse
I don't think so. I think she got married quite soon.
Yes,
I think she did some private nursing in London, but it would have been a matter of months.
Yes.
You see, I think she was perhaps filling in the time, thought it would be a good idea, thought it would help her to understand my father's profession, you see, and so on.
Yes, I see.
Yes, I think so. I think.
So did she help your father, really,
no,
do you think, at all?
I don't think so. Mm. No, when I say did she help him, do you mean like
as
a nurse?
Profession, yes.
Oh, no. No,
done,
no, she didn't lead the life. It's quite hard to think of mothers having been a hospital nurse, really.
Yes.
Not at all, she didn't. But I mean, they were the most devoted couple, and I'm sure the way that husbands and wives do support each other is that she
did. Yes, psychologically. Yeah.
Yes, but there was no question, oh no, what an extraordinary picture that presents to my mind.
That's interesting, yes. Because, of course, it was just not done for a well-to-do husband to allow his wife to work.
Well, you couldn't imagine such a thing, really, no. And and I mean, we none of us ever went into the kitchen, you know, that sort of thing.
Did you actually live here, or where did you live?
I was born in a very nice Georgian house in Beggar Street, and then we transferred. All the young doctors started there in those days. Every house on the other side of the street, you know, it was a young doctor in it.
Which street is that?
Lower Baggot Street.
I see, B-A-G-O-T.
B-A-G-G-O-T.
Yes,
the established people were all in Merrion Square. Then when my father's generation were the established people, they were all up in Fitzwilliam Square, Fitzwilliam Place then, and that's where we were. And that is where he died eventually. And about my mother,
her.
Well, of course, they were, in a way, we grew up in a very isolated social way, the family, because my parents were strongly in sympathy with the nationalist movement and with the socialist movement, but we did belong to the sort of upper echelons of a Protestant professional society.
Yes.
And most people in that class at that time were strongly pro-British.
Yes, so you're in a rather odd situation.
Socially we were in a slightly odd, and of course my father didn't feel it professionally, mother was totally indifferent to these things, but for us I think it was rather isolating that we as children hadn't, or as teenagers and young adults, hadn't as much society as we might have had in a way, because it didn't mean that we got to know the young, my brother was a schoolish old she in Skeffington, but we didn't get to know Catholic society, really. But my mother became great friends with the writer James Stevens and with Russell, that class of person we knew well.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the nationalist Protestant intellectual left.
Yes.
That is, those were the people we really knew.
What about Mrs. Despard, actually, Dr. Fitzpatrick? Did your mother have any contact with her?
No, well, of course, I remember Mrs. Despard quite well.
It's just that she was an English suffragette who had quite a lot of connection with the Irish nationalist movement.
Always with Maud Gonne.
That's right,
There was this awful sort of Dublinese joke about old Mrs. Desperate and Lady... No, old Lady Desperate and Madame Maud Gonne.
Would you say your mother was a housewife? Well, it's not hardly the way to put it, a head of household, to speak, all her life, really, after her marriage? I mean, she didn't do...
She didn't take part in anything public.
No.
I can remember her going up to the park where there were meetings being brought along, I suppose, because it was what else are you going to do with the children kind of thing, or with me, and that she admired James Connolly very much.
Oh, did she, really?
She knew him, he used to attend suffrage meetings, and she said he was a man per se.
How do you explain this rather unexpected direction your mother takes? I mean, is it entirely just her intelligence, do you think, that leads her to be imaginative in politics?
I think so. And then, of course, the sort of family tradition of William Smith O'Brien, who sacrificed his excellent social position and everything, and, well, he was condemned to be hanged, but he was transported, actually, in a convict ship to Tasmania. But he was a landowner, and he was an MP, and he was educated in Harrow and Cambridge. I mean, he needed...
The family tradition, really.
A bit, yes. I think so, and it is sort of that kind of feeling.
Did she talk about him much to you?
Well, of course, she wouldn't remember him.
No, I really wondered whether she talked about him being...
No, she didn't know.
Mm, but still, it was there in the background.
I think she had a very independent sort of mind. She was a very intelligent person. Very, you know, hard to describe her in a way.
How did she spend her time? I mean, of course, partly managing the servants, I suppose. That must
I don't know thing. How she spent her time. Now, that's the thing we all say, we're all labouring, doing all the servants' work and everything else as well.
Yes.
What did the ladies do in those days?
Yes.
She certainly read a great deal.
Did she?
Yes, she was.
What sort of things?
I think she was. She was interested in theosophy.
Oh, was she?
And
really?
In poetry.
Was she?
And the things that her friends wrote, he wrote, and James Stevens wrote, and that sort of thing.
Sort of literary, the literary world. Really,
Yes. But what she did, I don't know really.
Yes.
I suppose she ran the household and she ran us, of course.
Yes, and acted as a doctor's wife. Presumably, it's quite a lot of entertaining of patients and things, wasn't it?
Oh, gracious, no. People didn't entertain the patients.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they really?
Well, I don't think so. You said such an extraordinary word.
Yes.
I mean, even when I was practicing in England, I don't think we entertained our patients or they us, except involuntarily.
Yes, depends how upper class your patients are, I suppose, doesn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a professional relationship. Well, you make friends with some patients,
yes.
I suppose, and get to know them as individuals and so on. Of course, she's a lot of relations who were always staying and that sort of thing.
Mm. Doctor, your father really did make it then, did he, in terms of the profession? I mean,
oh, gracious,
yes. The best part.
Well, he was the president of the College of Physicians now at the time of his death, and he was the senior physician in the in one of the hospitals. He was a neurologist. Oh, yes, he was a specialist, very much so.
Yes.
So
he ended up in the best area for doctors.
Oh, yes.
In Dublin.
Oh, yes. Mm. He was, I suppose, the titular head of the profession in the country at that time, yes.
Mm. And what happens actually then in the whole, the time of the Troubles? I mean, your mother, how does she relate to the developments between 1916 and 1922, really?
Yeah.
Was that a very complicated question?
No. As they didn't exactly take an active part. I remember 1916 quite well. Curious, my father, this perhaps not exactly telling you about mother, but in a way it is. He was in the RAMC, and of course the wartime, I mean, they were, naturally would have been very on that side, the British side, well, on that side, outside the war, a lot of relatives killed and so on. And he was in the RAMC, but he wasn't out in France because he was a neurologist, and he was a consultant neurologist to the troops in Ireland. And travelled about the country, and you know, had to, I mean, to the big military centres here. It was the time when shell shock was first heard of. And this
that interested him in the whole
question. Well, that was his type of thing too, you see.
Mm.
Well, as it happened, on the Saturday before, you know, the rebellion broke out on Easter Monday, 1916. Well, there was a charity football match. My father's an old international. There was a charity football match for the Red Cross or something in Lansdowne Road on the Saturday, and he played in it, and he got his collarbone very badly broken. And so that at that time he was attached to Mercer's Hospital, which was on the other side of Stephen's Green from our house. I mean, he would walk through Stephen's Green into all this firing in his uniform, probably being shot, but he wasn't able to go to hospital, he was too badly injured.
Mm.
Isn't that curious?
I see, so really it kept him out of
it. It kept him out for just really for that period, really. Well, he went about as soon as he could. Mother used to go charging around trying to get food. Because, of course, it was rather difficult to get food during 1960.
Yes.
The Dr. Rolette, who was a great friend of ours, he was subsequently a senator, and he was very sympathetic to the nationalist cause. And I remember his bringing round to, after, remember, you know, Terence McSweeney, the Lord Mayor of Cork, who died of hunger strike in Brixton.
Yes.
Remember Dr. Rolette coming round to our house with the death mask of Terence McSweeney and saying, "I think you won't be raided. Could you hide this?"
Mm. Mm. Very interesting. So really, in later life, she's remained on the left in Irish politics, does she? I mean,
Yes, she would always have been sympathetic to the left. If you can combine that with being, by temperament, a very aristocratic.
Yes, oh yes, there is a bit of a tradition of that in England, of course, as you know.
Course.
I mean,
well, there was Lady Constance Lytton.
Yes.
Yes.
But does that mean to say that your mother would have supported the Labour Party in Ireland? She presumably wouldn't attach herself to Fianna Fáil, would she?
No. No, she wouldn't have attached... She didn't attach herself to any of them. I really don't quite know. You see, I lived in England for a long time myself.
Yeah.
How she voted in later years.
Yes.
She died 20 years ago now.
Mm.
No, these would have been considered too Catholic.
Mm.
You see, Irish Protestants don't like the Catholic Church, I may tell you straight frankly, if you don't mind.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah.
And they're always very suspicious of the Catholic Church in a way.
And your mother was?
Well, she wasn't exactly suspicious, but she would have considered them under the heel of the church, the political parties, too much. And then their attitude to women, all wrong, you see. So she would have been on the left in that way, because the Labour Party has never been awfully strong in Ireland, because every poor man in the rural districts regards himself as a landowner, and wouldn't consider himself a labourer, you see. They all feel they are descended from the kings of Ireland, you see. I mean, they all regard themselves as, well, not as labour people. Labour is an urban thing, really.
Yes,
I think even in England
it's
an urban thing to a great extent, isn't it?
Oh, yes, very much so. Yes. So that really means that politically she doesn't really find any part
no,
of quite...
No, she would have probably voted Labour.
Yes.
Yes, I think she'd have voted Labour. My younger sister could tell me now whether she voted. Is that so?
She's not. You see, Grace Rowe was a theosophist.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I suppose it was after Mother met A.E., you know, George Russell, that probably she got interested then.
Yes.
And she was definitely interested in that. And that was, as it is to those who are theosophists, the most wonderfully sustaining thing in the outlook, isn't
she
it?
She remained a theosophist, did she, all her life?
Oh, I think so, yes. Of course, she survived A.E. a long time.
Mm.
Yes, she had those beliefs. I don't think in a cut and dried way, you know, but she nevertheless, those were her reincarnation. She told me that she began to believe in reincarnation when she was a nurse in hospital, before she knew anything about theosophy, because she, in London, she witnessed the frightful poverty of the East End and the miserable condition of people and the desperate suffering, you know, and she felt no righteous, no just God could inflict this. There must be some explanation. And then she came to believe of her own accord in reincarnation. That's quite interesting, isn't it?
Did she do social work at all after she married? I mean, it was a sort of thing for upper-class women to do, of course, wasn't it, at that time?
Well, now, that's a queer thing to ask. I don't think she really did. You know, this thing my sisters and I have talked of sometimes. What did Mother do? Well, now, that sounds as if we were insulting to her. But,
it's difficult to put yourself back into...
You see, we have had to labour in the kitchen and this kind of thing and work so hard. What did she... She didn't, I think, associate herself with any particular thing, but then... She might have done a lot of things without telling one.
Well, yes, absolutely. How many servants did you actually have in the house? I mean...
We'd only two living in, but there were all sorts of other people.
When you were a child, that is?
When I was a child,
yes. And she had how many children, actually?
Four.
I see.
I'm the eldest. I'm the only one who probably remembers very much.
Mm.
And then comes my brother, and then there are two other sisters. Yes.
Was she ambitious for you as daughters? I mean, did she want you to have...
Oh, she wanted us to have professions.
Yes. Did she?
She wanted us to educate it. And so, well, so would my father have wanted that too.
Mm.
And
so that helps to explain why you're a doctor now.
Well, no, not well. I took up medicine much later. I did a history degree when I was in college.
Did you really?
Yes, and I did all various different things. And my brother was in Glasgow University. He was a senior lecturer in English there. My next sister is a doctor. She did medicine while my parents were still alive. My father was long dead when I started. And my younger sister had only just left college. She did a natural science degree at the time of my father's death, and he had bought a place in County Wicklow. When I say a place, I mean it was a farmhouse and land where he hoped to retire, where they spent weekends. And after his death, my younger sister said, I will farm the place, because my mother wished to live there. She decided to leave Dublin and live there, and so my younger sister took on farming.
Mm. You didn't say anything about your mother's education. You said she lived in a sort of world of horses and country
yes.
and society. And so on. Did she have a governess?
Had governesses, and for a short time she was at the French school Bray, which is I don't think exists now. But she, I think their father taught them, because she seemed to know a lot of Latin and that sort of thing. So I remember one occasion, you know, she used to breakfast in bed when she was elderly, and her family trooped in to say good morning and so on. She said, oh, well, like Queen Elizabeth, I feel I'm receiving sort of a levee or something. But of course it should be in Latin, so she burst in into Virgil and groaned and
she was a really cultivated woman then.
Well, I think you, in the way that people were then,
yeah.
without being learned, or this is a great difference now. People are such specialists, aren't they?
That's quite right.
But there was a time when everybody
had a general cultivation.
General cultivation, and I thought of this later. It was some question or other. I said to myself, who do I know who knows everything?
Mm.
Now, do you know that older generation? There were cultivated people who,
yes.
at least they knew what you were talking about. Of course, persons like my mother had absolutely no scientific.
No.
training, but they were all...
They were well read.
They were well read, they were cultivated, they were brought up in an atmosphere of literature and art and so on.
What about dress, actually, Dr. Fitzpatrick? I mean, was she progressive in her attitude to women's dress, or was she quite ordinary among women at the time? Did she wear rather sort of advanced clothing or anything like that? I mean,
You mean did she wear trousers? Trousers
yeah.
hadn't come in her lifetime, practically.
Yes.
At least to the end of her life, when she was over 80, you would hardly expect her to wear trousers.
No.
She would have had no objection to anybody going about in their skins.
Mm.
She declared herself to be an anarchist, as more or less a joke. She thought marriage was a mistake. And so I think did I don't know whether my grandmother, her mother was the most spirited person. I remember being on, shall I tell you this?
Oh please, yes,
I remember as a child being on an outside car with my grandmother, driving along in the rain, and he rode an outside car, yes, what they
yes.
call a jaunting car,
yes.
postcard, in Limerick, where she lived. What have I done with my life? I've had no education. I've done absolutely nothing in my life, said Granny. Well, I say, Granny, you'd had 7 children. Nothing the charwoman wouldn't have done a great deal better, my dear. the man who was driving the car sort of...
So there's a sort of, in a sense, in the family somewhere, there's a tradition of independence.
Well, I don't know whether it's a tradition. It just is there. They were like
yes.
that. My grandmother was furiously jealous of my having a university degree in this sort of thing.
Mm.
She should have had a university degree, and she certainly was at least as intelligent as many of us who had.
Yes, yes, that's very
so, I mean, they must have been all very strong-minded and independent, very independent-minded
yes.
mothers.
Yes.
And people were, and I think my father's people too.
Presumably birth control, though, is a bit too much, isn't it?
Oh, you're quite wrong. My grandmother said, why was it not invented in my day? This is my grandmother said to me, you see. But I somehow think mother perhaps didn't altogether approve of it.
Mm.
But I field. I don't feel I could enter into it with you because I don't really know.
It's a very difficult thing in Ireland, even more difficult in Ireland than in England, I suppose, because of the Catholic Church being so...
Well, now, of course, the idiotic thing at present is they all pay lip service to it being so wrong, but it's perfectly obvious that better off Catholics practice it.
Oh, yes. You're going to go to look at the birth statistics to see that.
Ridiculous. It's the kind of thing I get quite angry about. I hate hypocrisy.
Yes, well, same here. But that is, I mean, if you're looking at the things that have emancipated women insofar as they have been emancipated in the 20th century, one of the things is smaller families, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes,
and,
it is.
I was just interested to know whether your mother was in favour of that.
Well, she used to say this sort of rather downright way, marriage was ridiculous sort of thing. But I said to her, you have no right to say that because you had one of the best husbands that ever lived. And she would agree with that.
How did your father cope with the whole suffrage business? Was it in any way an embarrassment to him as a doctor, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know that. But I think he suffered, but supported. He was absolutely a supporter. But it must have been a frightful thing for
very
him, because they were young people then. And you see, what was far worse than anything was not disapproval, but jeering. It's always jeering is worse than making a mock of people. It's worse than having a stone thrown at you, isn't it? I know that the school we went to, a private school, this I heard from my father later, that the headmistress was a patient, or they were patients, and something was said to them about, you shouldn't have Dr. Purser, his wife's in jail. And the headmistress said, absolute, that wouldn't count with me, why shouldn't you? It's nothing to do with you. I mean, this was brushed aside by her. But the fact that he remembered this, you see, makes me wonder whether there were other things too.
How was your mother as a mother? I mean, was she a very good mother with you, bringing you up, or were you in fact brought up by a nanny?
No, we were. We hadn't a nurse after the time I was, my younger sister was four, because that was the time when there was going to be the Ulster business was rising, 1914, and there was the Carson was running guns, and we had an English nurse that time who people wouldn't allow to stay here, and Mother took us all over then. We had nurses, but as small children, our father meant more to us, because he adored children. I don't think my mother did. But I don't mean to say she wasn't a good mother.
No.
But, I mean, she didn't like children who complained, and we certainly grew up to be... I mean, we didn't whine or whimper or say we'd pains or anything like that.
Rather sort of stoic you had to be.
I think so, yes. And if we did complain, we would complain to him, you see, rather than to her poor mother's fury, I think. But as we grew up, we learned to appreciate her more and more. There's never been anyone who's been such a marvellous friend to me as my mother. We got closer and closer as
as you
years
became an
went
adult,
by.
You
yes,
could talk
as
to
years
her more
went
freely.
By. And I don't know, the bond between us is very, very close. And to this day, I miss her greatly.
When did she die, actually?
She died 20 years ago. Yes, in 57. Yes, she was then 84.
Was she really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my father died of a heart at the age of 57, which was dreadful. He was sort of top of his career and so on.
So she was left a widow.
She was left
a
widow
time.
When she was 16. So she outlived him by 24 years, yes.
What about property? Did she mind about property and her house?
Oh, she was most...
generous, was she?
Generous and I may say, I think, careless, but not extravagant in a sense, but just...
Open.
Open. Very open, yes, and give you anything, give anybody anything. She had very little sort of feeling for owning things or wanting to own things, but she spent money inordinately, as people like that do.
Did she, was she artistic, would you say?
Yes, I think she could certainly have been a painter. She could paint and draw quite well, but didn't pursue it. I think she knew she could have been... Yes.
This is another side of the point you make about people having general culture, isn't it?
Yes.
They could paint and they could do languages and they
yes.
read good books and they could
yes.
converse
yes.
and all these things.
Yes. It's such a different world, and you're young, you could hardly remember it.
No, that's one reason why it's valuable talking to people, because they can say, you know, that question you're asking is just...
Doesn't mean
wrong.
Anything, yes, doesn't mean anything in the context,
yes.
Yes, quite so. I can show you a portrait of her upstairs, if you don't mind coming up.
I'd love to, yes, if that's convenient for you. I mean...
up to the fighters.
Yes.
But my mother said to them, really, if you've got a cause, you've got always got to be prepared to fight. So she had a fighting spirit.
But you often find, I mean, the suffragettes, although they are prepared to do very courageous things, they're not natural fighters. They're very gentle women in many cases.
Well, I mean, they're certainly they're not sadists or anything of that sort.
Like that, no.
And as far as I know, they all were perfect ladies in their own homes.
And that would certainly apply to your mother, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. I remember this poor Miss Wickham, when she came over, Mrs. Earle, who was this splendid woman, she was another doctor's wife, very nice person. But she went to jail in England, and she described to me in later days the way the police used to absolutely get them by the hair, tear the hair out of their heads. You know, they were terribly roughly handled by the crowds in London and by the police. Physically ill, but she told poor Miss Wickham, Mrs. Purser is a perfect lady. And poor Miss Wickham told her afterwards, said, good God, how will I deal with a perfect lady? But especially they were perfect ladies, mostly.
How do you spell Wickham? Is it like Hi Wickham, that, or is it W-I-C-K?
I think she spelled W-I-C-K.
I've come across her.
No,
look her up.
She was highly well-connected person.
Washington.
But I don't think that she can be alive. The last time I saw her was about 20 years ago, and then she was a pretty elderly woman. And I wonder if I have her address. I think I gave it to Mrs. Ed. We had a nurse who was a Plymouth Brother, and I remember her saying to me as a child, your mother is going to hell. And I was not perturbed, because I knew my mother, and I knew she'd worse the devil. She wouldn't be done down. She would be perfectly all right. Absolute confidence in her.
The nurse felt she would go to hell because of the subject.
I don't know. I mean, this was when I was about six. I really don't know what the grounds for this pronouncement were.
But a lot of...
I'm trying to tell you my attitude to my mother and her activities,
yes. Yes, she had this sort of strength of character.
Yes, we believed in her absolutely and implicitly. Mm. And we absolutely adored our parents.
Because a lot of, as I was saying, a lot of suffragettes' children, in the effort to establish their own individuality, often react against their mother's feminism and want to be ordinary women, you know, leading an ordinary housewife's existence, if you see what I mean. And that's one route you can take, so to speak, as a suffragette.
But of course, I suppose it depends a lot on your individual temperament.
Oh, yes.
I would have my mother's temperament to a great extent myself, I think. But if I had a very much more timid temperament, or more domestic temperament, perhaps I would have turned against it.
Yes, you can't generalise about how human beings will react.
And then also, people can talk too much about their past glories, can't they?
Oh, yes, yes. But anyway, it never had that effect on you. You never reacted against your mother's attitudes at all.
No, but philosophically, as it were, Mrs. Skeffington and I both feel a little bit that there's been... Violence has developed so terribly in the world that perhaps this was not a good thing. We might, at the time, we probably thought it was, but it certainly must have given the Sinn Féin movement clues.
Yes, well,
I think so. I think it's certainly, though of course it wouldn't be acknowledged, but nevertheless, they learnt a lot from the suffrage movement.
And of course the suffrage movement learnt a lot from the earlier Irish movement too.
I suppose they do.
I mean, there's a tradition of violence long before the suffrage movement starts.
And yet the violence started, it must have been the Pankhurst really must have sort of initiated it.
Oh, well, Pankhurst certainly initiated.
Pankhurst was the brains in a way, but that she hadn't quite the guts.
That's interesting, yes.
Yes, this was what they thought.
Yes.
Christabel ran it from Paris.
That's right.
But it was her mother and her sisters who had the guts to go to jail.
It's a very difficult thing. Enthusiastic for progressive education. Did she give you a progressive education by the standards of the time?
Oh, her feeling and my father's would be that girls would have equal education with boys. And in fact, I think their times were tendency to have the same. Perhaps a little bit too much the idea then is that boys and girls were exactly the same.
Mm.
Whereas there are certain temperamental differences,
yes.
I think.
Yes, certainly trying to show that the girls were as good as the boys all the time.
Oh, certainly. So they are, really. Exam results and so on.
But what schools were you sent to as children then?
First of all, I went to a school called Alexandra, which is a fairly old set runs, a devil of an old mistress in those days, who was very rude to me about my mother. That's the one thing in my life I'm proud of. I defied her publicly, the impudence she'd
criticising your mother's...
Of course, I was a sort of hooligan child, running around always untidy, and one of these frightfully restless children who are full of physical energy, She seized me by the arm and said, "Look at your dress. Hole in the elbow. Your mother ought to be at home mending your clothes instead of being disgracing herself in prison." I think it was an awful thing to say to a small child.
Very unwise. Yeah.
However, this small child was full of cheek answers, I said. I was in the habit of mending my own clothes, and if it wasn't mended, it was because I didn't choose to mend it.
But you went to what, to private school?
That was not a private school. That's a very well-known school, the Alexandra here. Then I went to a private school. After that, we all did. And then my brother was at this school, Sanford Park, where I own, and she's given in all sorts of school. And then I was in Trinity later.
Trinity College Dublin, you mean?
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting.
Dublin.